The Chosen Families Project, where everybody is welcome. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to The Chosen Families Project. Happy New Year. How are we doing? How's everyone feeling? A lot of crazy things, and, you know, we're already in the first month of the year. I'm currently not working, which has not been fun, but I have been working on my other genealogy things, and of course, I have some time for this project, which I'm very, very happy about. So, one of them, you know, I just have stacks of photos everywhere, and today I was like, you know what, let me go through and see what I can get. And sometimes it just pays off to come back, you know, take a step back and look at things. And I, you know, my goal this year of this project is to kind of commit more, maybe do a couple more interviews and, you know, definitely commit some more time to it because it is a passion project. It's really awesome. And I'm returning not one, but just two different photographs. So that story will be coming out shortly. And I also have an interview potentially in the works. So let's stay tuned for that. So this is episode 25. So we hit, you know, a quarter out of 100 episodes. And I was looking to see when I last did this project, or when I first did this project, I should say. And I started it back in 2021, which to me doesn't feel like that long ago, but that was right after the pandemic. So I've really, you know, even though I've taken breaks here and there, I've been doing this project for about 4 years now. This will be year five, and it's just been an incredible journey. I've met so many amazing people along the way, and I still hope to continue that. And I also have so many photographs that I think, you know, it's time to kind of see what I can do. So this story today is, her name is Martha Rodman Lambert. And, you know, I found this photograph, I believe, at one of the stores in my town. They have, you know, a variety of photographs there. And this photo, you know, when you first look at it, it has her full name, which is really nice. It's Martha Rodman Lambert. It states that it was taken at 4 months old. And the date on the back is 1918. So that gave me some really good clues. Now, the actual photograph is of a 4-month baby. And it appears she might be wearing, you know, clothes for like a baptism. It's that kind of white garb that you put, you know, it almost looks like it's like swallowing a baby, essentially. And, yeah, so the only other clue I had based on, you know, the name was a really good clue, but the location I was able to figure out based on the studio. So the studio gave me another clue. The studio's name was Vanderveer Studio, and I believe it was based out of New Brunswick, New Jersey. And Rutgers had a collection in their archives that stated they had this studio and a bunch of his photographs. So I kind of took those clues, you know, and I also, most of what I find is based in New Jersey, but not all. I've come across photographs from Tokyo to Ohio to, you know, everywhere else. So it's not, you know, if I don't source them off eBay per se, if I source them at a local place, most likely they're going to be someone in the area, but not always the case. You know, I don't know where these sellers or get their photographs from. And basically what I did was my usual kind of process. I searched that name with the kind of the date in mind. So I assumed she was born probably about 1918, 1917. And I was able to find someone, a woman that matched that exact name. And turns out it was them. And it also corroborated when she was baptized. So I'm going to share with you the story of Martha Rodman Lambert. Also to note, this photograph will be going back to a relative. It was actually just mailed out today, and I am very much excited for that. So Martha Rodman Lambert was born on the 4th of October, 1917, in what I suspected, New Brunswick, New Jersey, to parents Frederick Charles Lambert, who was born in 1898 and died in 1944, and Harriet Calvin Redderson, born on 1893 and died in 1993. Her father, according to early census records, so the first census that Martha would appear on would be the 1920 U.S. Census, and he had worked as a clerk for a druggist supply factory in New Brunswick, New Jersey. Not sure. Didn't really specify which one, but that's what it noted on the census record. And her parents had gotten married on the 1st of April 1916 in Staten Island in Richmond County. And her father, Frederick, he was a New Jersey native. He was actually from New Brunswick. And her mother, Harriet, was born and based out of Camden, New Jersey. Now, from what I suspect from the picture, you know, I didn't make the connection at first until I noticed the date, which was that Martha was baptized on the 10th of February, 1918. And this was at Church of the St. John the Evangelist. And when you do the math, if she was born in October and baptized in February, you know, and photographs at this, you know, during this time period, depending on the family and how much money they had, or, you know, if you think about it now, if you attend a wedding or a baptism, most likely they were taken at kind of some big moments. So, yeah, this one was taken most likely at her baptism. And it looks like she's positioned, you know, the child is positioned in like a chair in a seated position, you know, because they're awkward. It's a four-month-old child. But I was very happy to find that piece of confirmation alongside her name. And Martha had grown up in New Brunswick with her parents, you know, based on census records in 1930 and 1940. She would basically live with her parents and have her young adulthood there. And on the 19th of March, 1940, she would marry her husband, James Merwin Schofield, and he was born in 1917. And he was from Montclair. And this actually, it's funny because her parents got married in Richmond, and she got married in New York City at the Church of the Transfiguration. And I actually found an article. This was published in the Montclair Times, and it details the wedding ceremony. And the article reads, "Weds Montclair Man. Miss Martha Rodman Lambert, daughter of Mr. and Mrs. Frederick C. Lambert of New Brunswick, became the bride of James Merwin Schofield, son of Mr. and Mrs. Ernest Schofield of 15 Gardiner Place on Saturday at 6:30 p.m. in the Church of the Transfiguration, New York City. The Reverend Randolph Ray Rector performed the ceremony, which was followed by a dinner party for members of the immediate family. Given in marriage by her father, the bride wore a gray silk crepe gown of street length, with a matching jacket and a girdle of pink and blue plaid taffeta. Her flowered hat matched the girdle, and she wore a corsage of lilies of the valley and gardenias. Miss Harriet B. Leary of New Brunswick, the bridesmaid of honor and only attendant, wore a pink dress with white accessories and a corsage of pink, blue, and white sweet peas. Howard Webster Talmadge of Montclair was best man. The couple are now on a wedding trip, and after April 15th, they will reside at 1553 Unionport Road in the Bronx. The bride, who is a member of the Junior Women's Club of New Brunswick, was graduated from the New Brunswick High School and the New York School of Fine and Applied Arts. Oh, she went to NYU. And Mr. Schofield was a graduate of Montclair High School and is a member of Dartmouth College, class of 1939. He is a member of the Theta Chi fraternity and is now connected with the Metropolitan Life Insurance Housing Project. So this is, you know, I love, love, love articles like this because you don't often find such really good details. Sometimes they're kind of short, you know, they'll just give when they married. But you can really picture the ceremony. And it seems kind of, you know, they, from just this article, it seemed, you know, they kind of wanted to keep it close within the family. They wanted to keep it to themselves. So that's, to me, really interesting. And also, funny enough, I will admit, I found the article. I didn't read it completely up until now. So it's really cool. So it looks like she had an art degree while her husband, who, you know, went to Dartmouth, worked then for a housing project, which is pretty cool. And that's why they were probably, they got married in New York City and resided in the Bronx. So her father, Frederick Lambert, he would pass away on the 20th of October, 1944. And he was pretty young. He only died when he was 46. And around this time, he, according to the most previous census record, he was an assistant superintendent of manufacturing. And alongside Martha, they had another son. His name was Frederick Charles Lambert, and he was born a little bit after Martha in 1924. And Martha's mother, Harriet, had remarried after her first husband's passing and would remarry a man named Stephen Vanowski, and he had passed away in 1980. Now, Harriet would eventually, you know, she kind of moved all over the place, but eventually she had resided in Tuckerton, New Jersey, and she passed away at the age of 94 on the 14th of March, 1993. And I included her obituary, which I'm going to read to you, so you can kind of get a full glimpse of their story. And it reads, Harriet Vanowski, 94, Tuckerton. Harriet Lambert Vanowski, formerly of New Brunswick, died Sunday at Seacrest Nursing Home, Tuckerton. She was 94. Born in Camden, she lived in New Brunswick most of her life before moving to Lakehurst in 1973. She moved to Tuckerton 3 years ago. She was a teller for the National Bank of New Jersey for 10 years before retiring in 1955. She was a member of the OES Ruth Chapter of New Brunswick, where she was a worthy matron. Ms. Vanowski was a former member of St. John the Evangelist Episcopal Church in New Brunswick, and she attended St. Stephen's Episcopal Church in Whiting. Her first husband, Frederick Lambert, died in 1944. Her second husband, Stephen Vanowski, died in 1980. Surviving are a son, Frederick Lambert of Metuchen, and a daughter, Martha Schofield of Tuckerton, 4 grandchildren, and 9 great-grandchildren. Services will be held at 9:30 a.m. tomorrow at St. John's Church, Lakehurst, and burial will be in Whiting Memorial Park in Whiting. And so that's Harriet's life right there. And, you know, In my research, I couldn't find any. I usually try to publish my photos on their Find a Grave Memorial pages so other people can find them. And I couldn't find any of the burials for the family. So I actually put up Harriet's, and hopefully we'll have a headstone there. And I'm not really sure when, or where, I should say, Martha is buried, unfortunately. But I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself. So by 1950, the couple would reside in Port Republic in Atlantic County, New Jersey. They would have one daughter during their marriage. And like I said, at this time, I really couldn't locate her obituary or her burial location. Now, I did find an obituary for her husband, James, who died in 2003. And he was a teacher for elementary science school. And at the time, him and Martha were married for over 60 years. They were married for 63 years, which is just beyond incredible. And it reads, James M. Schofield, 85, of Little Egg Harbor. And he died on Monday, February 17th at Seacrest Village, Little Egg Harbor. He was a 4th and 7th grade science teacher for the Abiscon Schools for 15 years. And he was on the Board of Education in Port Republic. And he was an avid square dancer and golfer. He was a member of the Atlantic County Board of Agriculture, and he was past president of Theta Chi. He was an Eagle Scout, like me. He was a member of the Zoning Board in Port Republic, a board of directors member of the Mount Holly Feed Company, and a member and past master of the Cologne Grange. And he was a veteran of the Navy as a lieutenant and served during World War II, and he was stationed in Pearl Harbor, so hats off to him. And he was born in Bloomfield, New Jersey, and surviving are his wife of 63 years, Martha Schofield, a daughter named Ellen, and a brother, Ernest Schofield of Long Island, a niece and 4 nephews, and the services will be private at the convenience of family. And it's funny, sometimes in families I see people who either die young, kind of one after one another, or I see people who, like their parents or grandparents, live very long lives. And Martha Schofield, like her mom, would actually live very, you know, to around the same age. And she would pass away at the age of 95 on the 27th of December, a little after Christmas in 2012. And unfortunately, I was really looking for any newspaper obituary or any online obituary, but I didn't find one. And, you know, I wanted to kind of see if I could learn a little bit more about her. But I am, you know, this is a little bit of a shorter episode, but I'm, you know, so happy I could share her story with you. And like I said, I don't have too much information. I am hoping I can, you know, still equally preserve her and her family's legacy. And I was very, you know, I love doing this project, and I was able to thankfully be able to return this to her relative. And so it went back home today. So if you, as I usually say, if you have any questions or comments, please reach out to me at thechosenfamiliesproject@gmail.com. You know, I do all this, the research, the recording, the editing all myself. So any support, and I literally will take like a like on Facebook. Any support really means the world. I really appreciate doing this for the genealogical community and families. It really is like a feel good. It's something I do to feel good. And I hope by sharing their stories, I can make you feel good as well, and also help you learn a bit about research. So thank you for listening to this little bit of a shorter episode, but Happy New Year. There's way more to come. I have another episode pending of another returned photograph, and hopefully more in the future. So thank you so much again, and remember that you were always loved here. Take care. Bye.